Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
One day, you're going to have a child, and you're going to look at it and go, oh, a boy, and the doctor's going to say, no. Wait until that child is old enough to decide for themselves what they are. You say, I see it's a boy. But they don't take what they see. What's obvious? We're in a world that is so lost that we can't even take the simple truth and be okay with it.
Pastor Troy says, a faith that works in us is a faith that produces works outside of us. Faith can produce a divine warning from the Lord if you're listening. When people leave God out of their thoughts and decisions, it leaves a huge hole, a vacuum, which needs to be replaced with something. You're left with your messy selves, but when you focus on the work of God, it transforms you, filling that void, and you rise above it. Noah was moved to action because of a warning, and we need to do the same when we're warned. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Genesis chapter 6 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Let's get into the Bible. That's what we're here for. We're going to talk about Noah. We're going to get in the boat today. Hopefully you're already in the boat, actually, because maybe you're not in the boat today. That's not good news. We're going to talk about Noah and a faith that works. When you see a group of, say, teenagers, and you look at that group of teenagers, you see them together, one thing you'll realize is they all kind of look alike. They look similar. Maybe they're not wearing the exact same shirts, but stylistically, they kind of fit. They're in a genre. And even if they want to be independent, they're with a bunch of others who want to be independent. So even though they all have an independent look, they all have an independent look. So they just fit in with each other because everyone wants to fit in. Everyone wants to belong somewhere or to stand out in a group. But that's the power of peer pressure to mold us and to shape us and to conform us. Too many take their cues from the crowds and the culture to find out what's in, what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad. But Noah was not one of those. He was influenced by the Lord and not by the crowds and not by the other things around him. Any dead fish can float downstream, but Noah wasn't a dead fish. He was alive. In fact, to put it in New Testament terms, he was alive to God because it was God who spoke to him. He was able to hear the voice of the Lord. Whenever a person walks with the Lord on an intimate level, that person has a greater perspective of things, life. They see things that others don't necessarily see. They're so entrenched in their flesh, in their views, in their ways, they don't see things the right way or for what they really are. But those who are close to the Lord, they begin to see things from a whole different view. What was so important to me before Christ, all of a sudden, that's not all that important really now that I consider it. Why did I fight so hard? Why did I wait so long? I remember there was a girl in high school. Her name was Cheryl. She was one of those that didn't fit in. She was a Christian, and she got picked on as well. I didn't pick on her, but in my art class, she was at the same table. It was a big table. There was maybe 9 of us or so at the table. And the square. And so one of the kids who sat next to her was one of the biggest culprits who would pick on her. And so he'd pick on her, and he was very funny. And people would snicker and laugh. I never joined in. In fact, I didn't really like it. I didn't take a stand. I didn't really know the Lord. I just knew that was wrong. And she does need to lighten up a little bit, is what I was thinking. Come on, my goodness. But she never did. In fact, she would say things, you know, I forgive you. You know, God loves you. And I am strong in the Lord. I know the Lord sees me for who I am. And I do what I do because of the Lord. She would say all these kind of things. And I admired her for that. I didn't know if I necessarily agreed at that time with it. Like, come on, yeah, but you got to do some stuff, you know. But as I look back, there were popular kids, there were funny kids, there were all kind of kids. And I remember some vaguely, some I don't remember at all. Maybe their faces. But I remember Cheryl. I didn't know her. I didn't hang out with her. All I knew is she got picked on and that she stood for Christ. And I remember her. She was nothing in my life. And yet apparently she was a lot. God used her in my life to show me what it means. I think we all run into opportunities where we know we should pray. There's a group, we should pray, but we don't. And then someone else does. And we go, oh man, I should have been the one to do that. As Christians, we can't let the world mold us or scare us. We have the living God. Cheryl is an example. I admire her faith. When she gets to heaven, or when we all get to heaven, she'll probably be one with all that vast time we'll have that I might look for and say, God bless you, thank you. She'll never know. Remember, all those in this faith chapter were those who lived just like this. They lived different than the world, different than the culture around them. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And they all lived for that. Next week, as we look at Abraham, we're going to find that we live for something, and not all of it do we always get while we're alive. But we move toward it. We live for it. Because they're things that we hope for, things that will be fulfilled one day perfectly in heaven. Noah is an example of faith that works, which is the faith that saves, by the way. See, we could look at our title today, a faith that works, in two ways. It's a faith that works in us, but it's also a faith that produces works outside of us because of the work that's going on in us. That's why James said in James 2:18, show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. What I do, how I live. How funny it is when some say they have faith, claim to have it, claim to love the Lord, but you can't see it. You can see it in their genuine, you know, words, but not in their life, which is what James is talking about. He says, can that kind of faith save someone? We're going to talk about that kind of faith. So let's look at Noah today and see what his faith produced. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. The first thing that we say that Noah's faith produced was a divine warning. Because Noah believed in God and had a relationship with the Lord, he was able to hear a warning from the Lord. Hearing the Lord speak, hearing the Lord convict your heart to keep you away from trouble that's to come. The beauty of being an insider in the Lord's, in a relationship with the Lord, is that the Lord will warn his people. He will burden your heart. He will convict you. He will direct you if you stay close to him. Otherwise, it gets very hard to hear him with all those other voices, including your own. How do you know which is right? We don't know what to do. It's too confusing. Everyone's telling us something. And so we need to hear the voice of the Lord. Let's get some background. You can turn with me if you would like. It's Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 through 22. It says, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark. Cover it inside and outside and pitch. Verse 15, and this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark. You shall finish it to a cubit from above and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you. You shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. We're not going to do an in-depth study of that text. That is just context for us. We've already gone through our Genesis study. We want to stick to where we're at, which is talking about a man who had faith in the Lord. Noah was warned because he had a relationship with God about a coming judgment because of the wickedness of men. They were very wicked upon the earth, and they turned their backs on him. You know, when people forget the Lord, or leave God out of their thoughts and their decisions, it leaves a huge hole, a vacuum, that must be replaced with something. I mean, God gives us the standards. He gives us what's right and what's wrong. He tells us all of that in advance. It's established. And so when we do away with Him, we have to make it up ourselves. We have to decide what's right and what's wrong. We have to make all these moral foundations all over again for ourselves, our own way, and that never really works out all that good. About the downward spiral of man as he digressed in his own sin, Romans 1:21 says, they became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened.
Stay tuned to hear more from today's teaching on Building on the Solid Rock. Pastor Troy Neely has been sharing insights from God's Word with us. He'll have much more to share on the next part of this message. We are so glad you've tuned in today. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged by what you've heard. If you've been touched by this program, or if you have any questions about Building on the Solid Rock, we'd love to hear from you. Send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also find out more about this program by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Listen to previous teachings as well, and even subscribe to our podcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
ground. So, what happened is they refused to acknowledge God. They stopped letting Him in the thought and decision-making process. They stopped being thankful to Him for the basic things and just ran as if there was no God. And what's sad is there are many Christians who run around like there is no God. I don't mean that they don't believe in Him. I mean, they just don't consult with Him. Like He's supposed to be attached to their belt and run around and just appear. Oh, Lord, I'm in trouble. Help me. Here I am. Make a wish. Instead of saying, I am God, follow me. Stop all of that stuff that's a distraction and means absolutely nothing and does nothing for you and only brings you and your household down. And be about your Father's business. Look to me. The men stopped doing that. People stopped doing that. And they began this downward corrupt spiral. When you read about it, it starts to show you the depravity of that sin and what it produces. There are things in the Bible that at one time were common sense. You read over it and you go, You read over and you don't even think about it, like the words if, and, or, you know, you don't stop and contemplate it. It's just one of those verses you go, yeah, let's get to some meat here. Which, at some point, a verse like the one I will share, though we just gloss over it today, it's going to be like enlightening one day. Maybe one day very soon. See, today we have men who govern nations who, they have this vacuum. They're trying to run nations and they don't have a set of standards, not God's set of standards. And so they're left to either enforce their own or what we do is we vote. What does everybody want? Vote. Tell us what standards you want. That's not the way God said that a godly nation should be governed, because the people don't want what's right. They want their sin open. They want their sin free. They want it to be okay. But God said, no, I will set up men. I will establish, let my law be on your hearts. Do not change it. Do not tamper with it and rule from it. But we're not. So now, to get back to the point, there are things that were common sense that are not. Here's the verse. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Now I say that because we live in a culture now that has no standard. And so we're voting. We're figuring out whoever's got the stronger arm wins. And we're redefining marriage. We just saw the animals to come, right? He said, male and female so that they can procreate. Because that's how they work. Very simple. He didn't also add into that, oh, in case you guys forget, let that be true of the male of your family too. It was like, this should just be common sense. It's the way it works. But we're going further than that envelope now. So that doesn't even seem like the main thing going on. Because now we're redefining gender. One day, you're going to have a child. And you're going to look at it and go, oh, a boy. And the doctor's going to say, no. Wait until that child is old enough to decide for themselves what they are. You can say, I see it's a boy. But they don't take what they see. What's obvious? We're in a world that is so lost that we can't even take the simple truth and be okay with it, no matter how we feel about it. I may have wanted a girl. I may say, well, I'm just going to let them decide. I wanted a girl so bad. It was our last one. And so we're going to let them decide. We can't do that. What is. What God establishes, he establishes. What he does, he does. He is God. Now, just for the sake of being honest here, I don't. And we don't, we should not, as Christians, hate anyone who's involved in these kinds of lifestyles or making these kinds of decisions. People are duped by an enemy. Remember, Juventine was here a couple of weeks ago. He reminded us, the person's not the enemy. The people aren't the enemy. There's an enemy behind the scenes that is trying to destroy. It's him we need to be angry with, first and foremost. I mean, thinking about this, what if we take that and my son, let's say my son grows up and he wants to be a dog. Now, this could have taken place in our family at one time. My son was about 18 months, 2 years, and we had a Chihuahua and he would always bark at the neighbor. My son, you know, hanging out with the Chihuahua. One day he's on all fours barking at the neighbor. And so my neighbor, I was going out there, I said, hey, how you doing, Mr. Lee? And Mr. Lee's like, your son was barking at me. Well, I'm going to let him be what he wants to be. No, I didn't do that. You know why? Because he's a kid. He's foolish. Now, I could have said, oh, man, maybe he does want to be a dog. You know, health insurance for dogs is a lot cheaper. I mean, son, you go for it. put you out at night. We're going to give you a doghouse instead of a room. It's cheaper. Dog food is much cheaper. I think that fits. I think my son is crying out to be a dog. Listen, left to ourselves to decide for ourselves right and wrong, as an individual and even as a culture, we are a mess. We make a mess. Again, we cannot hate people. God hates that. God said to you, even if your enemy comes, then you love them, you pray for them. So as a church, I want to make this clear as we say this, and who knows who might hear it, that we do not hate. We will not fight someone. We're not going to try to make someone come to Christ, because that's not our role. But we can proclaim what's true. And the truth is, God established the order of the world. He created. We are not because of some big bang, but because God created. And He created them male and female. We're in such a mess today. Violence has become the norm. It's all over the place. Terrorism everywhere. Now it's like you're not shocked at watching something on the news. You're like, well, what happened today? What's next? Road rage. My wife saw an incident right beside her. The guy just pounded and pounded and pounded and went around, and then there they were off chasing each other. I heard someone else saw that on the side of a road, two guys had got out in expensive vehicles. Apparently, who cares what the vehicle costs now? And they were duking it out. We're becoming violent. There's miscellaneous shootings. There's abuse in the home, physically, emotionally, verbally. There's youth violence, youth against youth, but youth against their parents, youth against authorities. There's no respect being bred into the youth. I don't know where it happened. Maybe it was when the adult starts saying, "Don't call me Mister. I work for a living." Instead of, it's not about you. It's about respect. Understanding that there are roles in life and that there are privileges that you attain to. You don't just roll out of high school, or shouldn't, just roll out of high school with a nice Mercedes-Benz, brand new. Work for it. Earn it. Do what mom and dad had to do, or grandparents had to do, or those who built this great nation had to do. Work. Don't expect. Respect. Respect others. Respect authority. But we don't have that. I don't know if we have that message. The Bible teaches it to us, that we should all respect each other, that we should respect those in authority over us, even the government. If they don't put something on us that is unbiblical, then He says, if you want to live in that government, you live that way. Hey, if you owe taxes, pay the taxes. You want to live in that place and live on its economy? Then pay their taxes, follow their rules. Jesus didn't say, yeah, abandon that. Give all your money to the church. He didn't say that. He said, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. We know that's getting increasingly more difficult. Some are lights, some are not. We're all called to be lights. I want to wake us up today, because there's a judgment coming. That's what Noah was told. That's what Noah was told to prepare for.
We are so glad you joined us today for Pastor Troy's study in the book of Hebrews. If you missed any part of today's teaching or would like to explore other Building on the Solid Rock messages, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You'll also find information about Pastor Troy and the church behind this ministry, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us for one of our weekly services. We meet Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. to worship Jesus and learn all we can from the Word. You'll find location information and driving directions at buildingonthesolidrock.com. From all of us here at Building on the Solid Rock, we'd like to say thank you for tuning in today. We pray you continue to seek and find God's hand in your life, and that you enjoy learning more about Him every day. Join us again as Pastor Troy continues sharing from the book of Hebrews, right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come.